Do any of you ever think that God's sense of humor is rather funny? Many of you know that we became grandparents on Friday afternoon. And I'll make more of that announcement and show you pictures at the end of the service, of course. So don't worry. But do you ever encounter those times like I have? As we came here beginning of April to be your pastor, which has just been awesome to see how God brought us together. I just am blessed beyond able to really express that to you. But one of the things that I found landing here the 1st of April was that there's absolutely no continuity, no rhythm to my ministry yet. And as you get to know me, I like to be very planned so that I can just allow the Holy Spirit to take over and do what He wants. But at least I am prepared. And it has been week after week of, I don't even know how to describe it. And so one of the concerns that Brenda and I have had is that every 2 years, the Alliance has their general council, and that's this year. And we had decided early not to go because grandbaby is due the second day of council. And then, you know, the national office, you really got to make it this year. So far, we have record attendance. We haven't had this high attendance for council registration since 1985. We really want all of our pastors there. We want everyone to... And so I'm thinking, Brenda, we should do this. And she looked at me, there ain't no way we're leaving if there's a grandbaby coming. And I said, I agree, we're not going to do it. And now that we have a grandbaby, I know I wouldn't have gone anywhere at all. So we've just been saying, God, just guide each step, right? So we're going to leave from, I'm going to go back down. Brenda stayed down in Sioux Falls or in Vermilion because the traveling is a lot for her. We're going to go back down there, spend another day or two, then go to council. But I share that with you for this reason. We all get ourselves in those type of predicaments. You have so much going on, and you think, how am I going to handle it? What's God's plan here? Trying to figure it out, and then we always learn afterwards, He's already got it. Just wait on me, walk with me, and I'll take care of it. My plans are higher than your plans, says the Lord, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So just trust in me. And so the theme for today's service is the blessings that God has given us. And I had some emotional times just doing those songs. I chose the whole service before I knew grandbaby was going to be born. And what a blessing. What a blessing to be born in America. What a blessing for those that are able to come and become Americans. But the ultimate blessing is the cross upon which our Savior died to pay the price of our sin. And you know, we get through these times in our life where everything gets overwhelming and we just like, oh, this is so rough. We don't know what's going on next. Lord, this is taking place, that's taking place, this illness is here, this is taking place, I'm making stupid choices here. Life sometimes gets like that. But God's Word tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, or angels, or principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, church, who can separate you from the love of Christ? No one. Absolutely no one, nor anything can ever separate you from His love. So my question is, so why do so many followers of Jesus miss life being lived through that first love relationship? You see, the moment you first believe in Jesus, you fall in love with the lover of your soul. And he is to become that first love in each of our lives. That moment that you realize that your sins have been removed from you as far as the east is from the west. That's that first love welling up in you. That moment you place your faith in Jesus and know that nothing can ever separate you from that love. That's that first love relationship. That moment you believe in Jesus and you realize that God now sees you and declares you as perfect in His sight. That's that love we experience the moment we come to faith in Jesus Christ. But the dilemma is many of us never live presently through that first love experience. And often, that experience when you came to faith and understood Jesus Christ and the sacrifice and God's love for you, the forgiveness of sins, the security of your salvation, life everlasting, a home being built for you, and that He's coming to take you to be with Him. All those things that you experience the moment you believe, for many of us, begins to fade away. And we don't live through that first love experience. We don't understand that deeper life that Jesus Christ came to live. We don't even know how to love any longer if we're not living in our first love, because we loved because He first loved us. It's from that first love relationship that we're able to live our life. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is what? You should love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Our salvation, loving God, loving people, go hand in hand. The life of a disciple is to be lived from his first love relationship, just like our Savior did. And we can see how He loved and how He lived, as Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2. He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He humbled Himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Greater love have no man than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. And Jesus calls us His friends. That's the example, that's the model that every believer in Christ is to live. It's completely impossible for us to do it if we're not living our life daily through our first love relationship with Jesus. It's impossible to do that if we're not living our life filled by the Holy Spirit, in step with the Holy Spirit, committed to His authority in our life. We can never have Christ as our first love when anything else becomes greater than Him. Not your spouse, not your children, not your grandchildren. Not your job or your income, nothing. The moment anything else takes the place of Jesus Christ as your first love, beware. Beware. Our first love for Jesus must be that driving force, must be that strength behind our love for other people. When we live out our life daily in relationship with our first love, We do life with others no matter the situation. That's how we can weep with those that are weeping and truly weep with them. That's how we can rejoice with those that are rejoicing and truly rejoice with them. That's how when you can look somebody in the eyes and say, I love you and I'm here to walk life's journey with you. We must be disciples and followers that truly indeed understand first things first, that we live moment by moment out and through our first love relationship with Jesus Christ. When it becomes a memory, we're in trouble. When it's not a present reality, we're in step. You notice that we don't have to do this. We just keep ourselves centered on Christ. He's the rock of our salvation. We are that tree planted by streams of living water. Jesus Christ said, I am with you to the very end of this age. The Holy Spirit has already been deposited within your temple. The moment you believe, the Spirit comes in and takes residence within you. It's no longer you that lives, but Christ lives in you. So folks, don't think I can't do this. Well, go ahead and think that, and I'll say, yes, you're right, you can't. You must allow Him to do it in and through you. You must allow the Spirit of God to so, as A.B. Simpson would say, so possess you that He guides your feet, your hands, your thoughts, your language, every part of you. That you are so filled with the Spirit that you can't help but just love. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. We shall be known by our... Folks, your first love relationship with Jesus Christ must be first place, center stage, every moment of your life. And the moment something else comes in, the moment something else distracts us, the moment life gets tough, and it's going to be, and Jesus Christ is no longer the center and first place, and the relationship begins to grow cold, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. That's why churches are closing and not building additions. That's why churches have less people in them today than they did maybe when you were growing up. Because the things of this world take over that first love relationship. Temptation comes and we choose the temptation and we walk in spiritual adultery before our God because we sin. And our love grows cold. Or we feel guilty about our spiritual life because we're not living it. And we start getting busy for Jesus instead of just being in Christ Jesus. And many of us, out of our guilt, we start doing everything. Oh, I'll serve there. I'll do this. Because we're guilty. We're not living in first love relationship. It's just a memory. But Paul said to the church of Colossae, and says to us that it is in Him, Christ, that we are found. We are to be found in Him, in His death, in His resurrection. There's nothing about being busy. It's being found in Christ. Being in first love relationship, not a memory of a relationship, but a living, active, daily relationship with the lover of your soul who gave His life for you. The moment He's not there, life begins going in the opposite direction. But wait! Most Christians don't notice it. Because the same deceiver that deceived Adam and Eve in the garden is still deceiving the followers of Jesus Christ today. It's okay, he says. God still loves you no matter what you do. Eve, go ahead and eat from that fruit. God just doesn't want you to know everything that He knows. There's nothing wrong with that fruit. Just, you know, it's okay if you just dabble in those things a little bit because, you know, tomorrow you can just ask God to forgive you. Tomorrow comes and we don't. You see, many believers in Jesus Christ don't realize how far they have moved from their first love relationship. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will do that through deception in your life. He will make right look wrong and wrong look right. He will make up look down and down look up. Do you know the greatest enemy of your soul has the second most power in the world? And the moment you place your faith in Jesus, He's on to beat you up, tear you down, and remove you from your first love relationship. And believers are dying a spiritual death every day because all they do is remember back when it was instead of what it is today. And when all we live is in the past, we're looking in the rearview mirror and it keeps getting further and further and further away. But the Hebrew writer says, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. We're told to have our eyes, I interpret it this way, my paraphrase version, Pastor Kevin says, glue your eyes on Jesus. If it's Gorilla Glue, Monkey Glue, Super Glue, whatever glue, just glue them on Jesus. Do you know why they put blinders on animals while they're working in the field? When I taught my boys to mow the lawn, this is part of my little OCD I'm recovering from. If we're going to mow a lawn, we're going to mow that row straight. We're not going to look at it like this. Now, gentlemen, I'm not looking at how you mow around here. Just do it. But when I mow the lawn, we're going to have a straight row because there's no reason to have these little woos. So, you teach... Taught my boys to mow. Get behind the mower. And I just mow with a row. But I don't tell them what I'm doing. I just mow a row. Because now it's your turn. And they're going, they're looking at it. This is cool, Dad. Thank you. Then we look at the rows. Oh, my goodness. You missed that. That's my spot. I already mowed that. You don't have to do it again. Do you know how can you get a straight row? You fix your eyes on the object ahead of you. You don't look to the left. You don't look to the right. You fix your eyes and you move towards it. And as a child of the living God, you fix your eyes on Jesus and you take one step at a time towards Him. You keep walking the Spirit towards Him with your eyes glued on Him, not looking to the left, not looking to the right, but looking right at Jesus. And I believe the Hebrew writer said that because of this. When He was on the cross, He was looking at you. His mind was on you. So we're told to have our eyes on Him because His eyes are on you. His eyes are on me when He laid down His life. So what moves us from our first love relationship? I hit on a few of them. I found in my own life, when my first love relationship with Jesus starts to wane or cool, it's usually firstly because of sin. Temptation comes. Temptation is not sin. Remember that, church. But first reason that I typically find myself in that spiritual state, because sin has come in and I've allowed it to fester. But Pastor, I'm a believer. My sins are forgiven. They are. They are, but listen. The longer sin remains in unconfessed, the greater distance your relationship with Jesus will become. Your fellowship is no longer good. It's strained. There's something between you and your Father God. It's like this. Husbands and wives, you have a fallout. You have a little spat. And until you make it right, the relationship's not there. That's why Scripture says, settle these things before the sun goes down. As a believer, the longer we avoid dealing with sin. Hey, listen, don't you think God knows that we are human and we're going to be tempted and many times we're going to take the bait and we're going to fall to sin? Do you believe God knows that? He doesn't expect perfection. Jesus Christ was the perfecter and perfection. That's why he says, if you do sin, and when you sin, confess your sins to me. Come clean. And guess what? I'll forgive them. And I'll place that righteousness covering right over you again. And then you can walk with me in fellowship. You can walk with me in joy. You can walk with me in nothing's between. But when we allow sin in, our first love becomes a memory. The longer it sits, the more it festers, the further we get from that first love relationship. Another reason I have found why I have had those times in my life where that first love isn't the strongest and the steppiest is because worldly cares have become my concern. When all of a sudden life is driving you to keep up with, the Joneses always get the bad rap, but let's just use them. When life drives you to keep up with the Joneses, when the things of the world start to entice you and draw you in and further away from your first love, but the things of the world. You know what Scripture says about that? Lay up your treasures where? In heaven, not on earth, where moth and rust destroy. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break in. For where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. So most people, most followers of Christ, their first love becomes a memory because of sin that's not dealt with and confessed. Worldly treasures, things of this world that entice us away from the disciple's life. As the disciple's life says, he picks up his cross and he follows him. Forsaking everything else, you follow Jesus. That's the disciple. The third area that I found can really affect our lives, I mentioned earlier, is busyness. And I found that there's busyness in life. And there's some believers of Christ who are busy for Him. Now, there's two different busynesses I'm talking about. Some of us fill our calendars to the point that we're so busy that our time with our first love is being neglected daily. We get up late, we don't have time with them. We go through the day, I'll spend time with you later in the day, and the day gets packed. Then you're rushing home, and your evening's shot, and you're going to bed thinking, oh, tomorrow I got to do better. But look at my calendar. We get busy. Another way that we get busy is that I usually find, at least in my life, I get busy for my Savior when I feel guilty about my life in Him. So I start looking for things how to serve Him, how to do things in the church, to be more involved, to do this, or even maybe put a little bit more in the offering because that will make Him happy. No, not at all. Now don't get me wrong here. Scripture says each one of us were created in advance with a purpose of serving our Savior. We do have works of service to do for Him. Ephesians 2:10. But we are to be found in Him first and foremost. Letting go of everything is saying, all I want, all I need is You, Jesus. Nothing else, nothing more, just You. I want more of You today than I had yesterday. And if I live through tomorrow, I want more of you on Monday and Tuesday than I had today. I want to become that river of life where the Spirit of God is filling me to the point that it's overflowing from me, that where I go, life is given. Not life from this man, but true life from Jesus Christ. You see, that moment that you place your faith in Christ, you have experienced love that cannot compare to anything or anyone else, and a love that will never give up on you. But so many give up on their first love, and they just remember a time that they were in love, but they're no longer in love. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just feeling really uncomfortable and you weren't expecting a message like this on Memorial Day weekend. Don't take it, the uncomfortableness, from me. Take it that the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention about something. I'm not able to make you feel uncomfortable. It's just the Spirit of God and spiritual things that make us feel uncomfortable. I've experienced it enough in my life to know it. But it all depends on what you're going to do with it. When the Spirit is saying, hey, it's just a memory for you. And He longs for you to remain in your first love. Look how far you've drifted. Look where you're at today. I've used this illustration for years, and I told myself I'd never use it again, but it fits, so I'm just going to do it. You guys like the beach? Going to the shore? Like water? Some of you do, some of you don't, but I'm standing at Clearwater Beach right now. White sands, beautiful ocean. I'm on the sand. Here's the illustration. In 1981, in September, when I turned from myself and turned to Jesus, I stepped off the beach and into the water with Jesus Christ. Now, I experienced His love, the forgiveness, the hope, and all the promises. And I took that step, and I moved from the shore into my salvation. Many Christians never move from the spot because, oh, the sand is nice. That water is washing up over my feet. It's nice, it's refreshing. Oh, this is great. But you know what happens the longer you stand in the same place and never move? What? You're sinking, your feet are getting deeper in, and it's getting a little cooler the deeper you go, isn't it? It starts with that step. And over there, where our kitchen is, or over there when I'm walking into the Gulf of Mexico, on the other side is where Jesus is. And the moment you take that first step, you continue walking with your eyes on Jesus, no matter what storms come your way, no matter what trials come your way, no matter what tribulations come your way, no matter what heartache comes, whatever He gives you, the blessings or the things He takes away, if you keep moving towards Him, it's just the natural next step in His plan for your life, in His grace for your life, in His mercy for your life. You keep your eyes on Him. You keep walking towards Him. But sometimes we have those Peter moments. We're out of the boat. We're off the shore. And Peter's no longer looking at Jesus. And all of a sudden he sinks. Ever felt like you're sinking in your spiritual life? You know what your master does? Lord, save me. Picks you up, and he says, get focused again and keep walking. And you know what eventually happens to all of us? One of these days, that next step that we take will be right into His presence. It's a journey from the shore of your salvation into the very glorious presence of Jesus Christ. It's continual movement. It's just not a fire escape. It's just not assurance. It's just not, I'm not going to hell now. It becomes and must be your life, lived day by day in relationship with your first love. And everything you do comes out of that relationship for the glory of Jesus Christ. So if Spirit's speaking to your heart today, I'm going to give you three helps that I have found when I found myself in that place. First, remember. Remember. The Lord will always be the last place you left Him. He hasn't changed. He can't. If you can't find Him today and you're not in your first love relationship, remember that time where the fellowship was sweet and the love for your Savior was overwhelming and you were just living in the bliss of knowing Jesus Christ. Remember. Revelation 2, 5 in the first part says, look how far you have fallen from your first love. Turn back to me again and work as you did before. If you find yourself just remembering your first love, not living it today, first remember. Second, repent. Confess your sins. Holy memories lead to holy actions. It means go back and simply and humbly start again. When we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Remember that first love. Repent of your sin. And thirdly, return. Repentance results in return to a conduct that Jesus calls first works. It's the twin to first love. Revelation 2, 5, verse, the second part of the verse. So remember, Jude says, beloved, keep yourself in the love of God. Repent. What less can He ask of us but to confess our sins and to live a spiritual life with Him in our first love and return to your first love, who must be Jesus Christ. It's not anyone's plan to sway from their first love. It happens in relationships on this earth. It happens in marriages. It happens in friendships. It happens in children and parents. It happens. And they're all against the grain of how it is designed to be, to live in that first love. But here is His grace. I'm thankful for a 26-letter alphabet. Because sometimes we start trying to start all these new plans. Oh, if plan A doesn't work, I'll go to B. And if B doesn't work, I'll go to C. But God says, it's okay. You tried A and B, and I'm still waiting for you in C. And I'll get you back on course. I'll let you start again. I'll give you a fresh start. His grace is beyond our ability to truly comprehend. His love is so great that He says, all right, you've admitted it. You screwed up. You left your first love. Deal with it. Remember, repent, and return. And God says, you know what? When we start feeling guilty about what happened, He goes, what are you talking about? The moment you confessed, I don't remember that anymore. I have chosen not to remember your sin ever again. So if you return to your first love, warning, and the enemy starts saying, ha, how could that be? Look what a mess you've been. Kick the enemy in the face. As Romans 16, 19 and 20 says, stomp him under your feet. Because he is a liar trying to deceive you. And God says, no, 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 no. You've been forgiven. You're my beloved child. Start again. And let's go on that journey. Until the very moment, that next step, you just meet me face to face. That's the journey of a believer. From beginning to end. It just doesn't start. There's movement through our lives. And that movement must always be a life lived out of our first love relationship with Jesus Christ.